We're holding on Days of Days by the Mishnah, middle of the Amud. Mishnah says, a Mekadosh v'chelka, if somebody is Mekadosh a woman with his portion of a korban. Rashi says that it's talking about a Kohen over here. Other Rishonim talk about the possibility that it may even be talking about a Yisrael with his portion of the that he receives from certain korbanos. We'll talk about that a little bit tomorrow. Ben Kodshim Kodshim, Ben Kodshim Kalim, whether this portion is from Kodshim Kodshim, the more holy korbanos such as the Chatas and the Asham, or the ones of lesser Kedusha such as the Shlomim, and a Mekodesh, since she's not Mekodesh for reasons that we'll talk about in the Gemara. With Maisa Sheni, what if he's Mekadosh with Maisa Sheni? Ben Shogig, Ben Mezid, like Kiddush. Whether he did it for Shogig, that he didn't know it was Maisa Sheni, or Ben Mezid, that he knew that it was, like Kiddush, then it's also not a valid Kiddush.
So Rashi say it's a Kohen, and
Tosfos and Yisrael? Not Tosfos necessarily. There's different Rishonim. Different Rishonim than Rambam, than Rashba, etc. We're talking about the possibility that maybe. No, they all agree it definitely can be a Kohen. They're talking about whether it can also conceivably be a Yisrael. So if it's Maisa Sheni, whether it's Shogig or Mezid Loi Kiddush, then he was not Mekadosh, for reasons which we'll talk about on Gimel on the Mez. Divir of Meir, that's what a Meir says. Rabbi Huda, I mean, Rabbi Huda says it depends. Shogig Loi Kiddush, if he did it for Shogig, then he Taka was not Mekadosh, or again, for reasons that we'll talk about over there. But Mezid Kiddush, whereas if it was Mezid, then he was Mekadosh, if he knew that it was Maisa Sheni. So the mayor holds, the mayor says, look, Maisa Sheni is Momen Gavoyahu. It's property that belongs to the Eivishter. It's property that belongs to the Eivishter. The Eivishter just tells you to eat in Yerushalayim. Therefore, it's not yours to be Mekadosh with. Rabbi Huda says it depends on Shogig or Mezid for reasons that we'll talk about later. Uber Hektish. Now, what if you're Mekadosh with something from Hektish, from Kodesh Bedek Abayis? Then it's the other way around. The Mezid Kiddush or a Shogig like Kiddush, Divir Meir. A Meir says that if you did it the Mezid, again, that you knew that it was Hektish, then the Kiddushin is valid Kiddushin, or a Shogig like Kiddush, but if it was a Shogig, then not, Divir Meir. Okay. Rabbi Hodaim, the other way around, a Shogig Kiddush, but Mezid like Kiddush. If it was a Shogig, then it was a valid Kiddushin, but Mezid not. We'll talk about that in the Gemara. We're not going to get to it today. It'll be mainly at the bottom of Nun Gimel and part of Nun Dalet, that basically they're arguing at what point does this Hektish go and become Cholin? At what point has Me'ilah been committed? Whether is it only B'shogig or only B'mezid? At what point has it been Yotze L'Cholin, where now it can be considered his property just that he has to pay back up? But it goes together. It goes together. Once Me'ilah is done, then it's out of the Rishus of Hektish, therefore it will be his in the sense that he's able to do the Kaddish with it. So in my sense, name a snitz and the like of Yeshi Aglid. Name a snitz and the like of Yeshi Aglid. Should we say that our Mishnah, which says that it doesn't matter whether you try to use Kodesh Kodeshim or Kodesh Kalim for the Kedushin, that's no good? Should we say our Mishnah is not like Yeshi Aglid? The Tanya, as we learn in the Braisa, when the Pasuk says Mo'ala Mal Bashem, when the Pasuk talks about the dinim of Me'ilah, and it uses the double expression of Mo'ala Mal, that you trespass the trespass, or you change the change, because Me'ilah actually means shinui, like you're changing it, it used to belong to Hektish and now it doesn't. The word Mal has a couple of different meanings, actually. It means a trespass. Like you're violating the kedusha of Hektish in this case. It can also mean there's an expression in the Gemara that ain ma'al al lashon shinu. The word me'ila is an expression of changing, like you're changing what reshus is in. Anyway, so l'rabbis kodshim kalim shein ramayne. Rabbi Yitzhak really says that comes to include kodshim kalim. That now we're not actually talking about a case of me'ila over here per se. We're talking about now. The Torah mentions there's a couple of different dinim that the Torah mentions in Mo'ala Mal Bashem. One of them is about Me'ilah, about misusing property of Hektish. But then a few psukim later, at the end of Parashas Vayikra, the Torah uses the same expression to talk about when a person trespasses against the Eidishter by he has, for example, the Kodin in his hand that belonged to somebody else. The person claimed it from him. He swore falsely that he doesn't have it. Later on, when he wants to do tshuva, then he has to pay back Karen v'chomish and bring an osham. This is Hashem Zele. So now,
this is for what?
This is for swearing falsely to defraud somebody else. So now,
but that's a
separate thing than me.
Separate than itself.
Yes. Kodesh Kalim is, for example, Shlomim Toda. anything that's not touching Hashem. Yeah. So anyway, so Rabbi Yossi Aglili says this comes to the beginning of the Gemara. This comes to include kachim kalim, which are considered his mamon. Meaning, in other words, if somebody were to, if somebody had in his possession, for example, meat of a shlomim, let's say, that belonged to somebody else, and the somebody else said, "Can I have my meat? I want to eat it," and the other person says, "I swear that I don't have it." Rabbi Yossi Aglili is saying, we learn from the pasuk, even though normally you don't swear on things involving hekdesh, here, because the pasuk has a mala mal bashem, then that's a ribui. We learn from bashem that it can be considered his moment to a certain extent. It can be considered his moment to a certain extent.
You weren't
here. Relax for a little. It's fine. It can be considered his moment to a certain extent. Therefore, you're chayiv to swear. Therefore, you're chayiv for the fact that you swore falsely about it. It's to a certain extent. Rabbi Yossi Aglili is saying that the pasuk is teaching us is considered his in the sense of the person who it actually belongs to. Again, Reuven shechted a shlomim. Reuven got a shlomim. Most of the meat of it belongs to him. He deposited some of it with Shimon, and then it can be eaten for that day and the next day. Later that day, he goes to Shimon and says, "Where's the shlomim meat? I want to eat it." Shimon says, "I don't know what you're talking about. I swear that I don't have it." Later on, when Shimon wants to do tshuva, you have to pay him for it, to tear him the punish, and you have to bring an Hashem Zelig.
So the meat belongs to...
The meat belongs to Reuven. That's the point. Rabbi Yossi is saying, don't think the meat belongs to the Eibishter, and therefore you hektish, and you don't swear on claims, and therefore you don't swear on claims involving hektish. In this case, Rabbi Yossi Aglili says that we say you do, because it's kachem kalim, and it's considered his mama. Our Mishnah, which implies... but it's not. You're supposed to be eating. Now, our Mishnah that said that if you're Makadish with Kodesh and Kalim, it's not Makadish, seems to go against that. The answer is no. I feel a tamer Rabbi Yossi Aglili. No, you could say that our Mishnah goes like Rabbi Yossi Aglili even. Kikom or Rabbi Yossi Aglili Mechaim. Rabbi Yossi Aglili is not talking about the meat of it after it was shechted. He's talking about while it's alive. So I have a curb, I have an animal which I was going to bring as a shlomim. I deposited it with you. Later on, I asked for it back, etc., etc. That's the case when you would have to swear on it, and that's the case where if you swore falsely, you'd have to bring an Hashem Zelig. Not after shchita, which is what our Mishnah is talking about. My time, or what's the reason? Because after the shchita, when you're entitled to the meat, you're getting it from the Eibishter's table. The Kohenim, their portion, the owner is their portion. It's not essentially that it belongs to you. It essentially belongs to the Eibishter, and the Eibishter gave it to you to eat. So therefore, it's not considered your property. Think about this Dekanami. For anything, funny carbon. What's the Dekanami? In fact, we can prove this from the wording of the Mishnah. Because I'm Makadish B'chelka ben Kodshim ben Kodshim Kalim Loi Kiddush. The Mishnah had used the expression that he's Makadish with his portion, implying after it was already apportioned out, after the meat was already portioned out to the Kohenim and to the owner, and it says then Loi Kiddush. Shmami, no, that proves that we're talking about after the shechted. We're talking about the meat rather than the living animal. Rabbi Yossi Aglili would be arguing the case of a living animal, but he agrees after it was shechted. After the mayor passed away, we had a similar story in Nazir. After the mayor passed away, Rabbi Yehuda said to his Talmidim, "Are you come to Talmidim of Mayor Lakan? The Talmidim of a mayor should not be allowed to come here into the Beis Medrash. The Pesha can't run in him because they are quarrelsome. They're quarrelsome. They like to argue. They like to argue for the sake of arguing." They're not coming to learn Torah, Lishma. They're just coming to Rabbi Huda saying. Rabbi Meir, some of them are just going to come to cut off our feet. Rabbi Huda, Rabbi Loi. You're saying that some of them are they're not going to come in here to genuinely learn Torah. They're going to come to Kapcheni Bahalacha saying, Boyim. They're just going to come to cut me off as far as Halacha.
He
couldn't say while Rabbi Meir was alive, I guess, yeah. But now that Rabbi Meir has passed away, come in a long time, Well, that's the point. They would want to come to him. They would never leave the Rebbe. That's true. Yeah. Ben Yehoyada says an interesting verse. He says that a real Talmud Chacham is a nautic for the Torah, a nautic, like a case that protects the Torah. These people, Rabbi Yehuda is saying, are not a nautic, but rather canter, the same letters mixed around. And a person who comes back to Shaila and the Beis Medrash usually comes to help make the other people pick him to make them smart. Instead of pick him, they want to come look at payout. Again, the same letter is mixed around.
But isn't debating that
type? Debating, but debating for a purpose. That's cut off, God, he says. Like, yeah, but yeah. Dachuk Sumchus v'nichnas. Sumchus pushed his way in. Sumchus was one of the top Talmidim of Meir. He pushed his way in v'nichnas and he came in. Amalahem, and he says to them in the Mizmedrash, Kach Shonali Rav Meir. This is what Rav Meir taught me. I'm a Kaddish Bechalko, somebody who's a Kaddish with his portion of the Kobanis, then Kodjim Kodjim, then Kodjim Kodjim, then Kodjim Kalim, Loi Kiddish, then he's not a Kaddish, like I said in our Mishnah. Cost Rabbi Huda Alehim. Rabbi Huda got angry at the Talmidim for letting him in. Amar Lahem, he says to them, Loi Kacham Artilachem, didn't I tell you, Al Yukam Simi Talmidim Rav Meir Lakan, Push Kironim Heim, didn't I tell you not to let them in because they're argumentative, Loi Lumut Torah Heim Boim, Lakhaseni Ba'alachasim Boim, they're not really coming to learn Torah, they're just coming to slog me up in argument. It's not logical, Rabbi Huda is saying, that you could mention such a case that a person could potentially be Mekadosh with Kodshik Kodshim. Kodshik Kodshim have to stay in the Azara, in the Ezra, or the Ezra show. How does a woman come to be in the Azara to accept such condition? So therefore, he's asking an impossible case. So that he's just now coming to hack a China, basically. Yeshua says that, Rabbi Yehuda could have known, as the Gemara is going to say in a minute, Rabbi Yossi is going to give ways that it actually could happen, conceivably. We'll get there in a minute. Rabbi Yehuda knew that. But his problem was, he's coming the first time to the Mishmedrash, ask a question practical, halacha. Don't ask something that Rabbi Yossi is going to have some far-fetched case that it could happen. Yeah. There's different other explanations what he was so upset about, but anyway. So V'chiyu Shabbat Zohar Minayin, Rashi says that actually a woman is not allowed to go into the Azara. Rashi says there's a Mishnah in Kalim that says so. Now, the problem is, there is actually no such Mishnah. There's a Mishnah that mentions the Mila of the Ezes Yisrael over the Ezes Nashim. It doesn't say anything about women.
Did you lose that Mishnah? Or?
No. So Tosfos says, in fact, Rashi was not Madaik. Okay, Meforshim, various other Meforshim explain how Rashi deduced from the Mishnah, the Tosfos of the Rosh, for example, says that he may have deduced from the Mishnah over there. The Mishnah mentions a difference that a Mechutz of Kippurim can't go in, which is something Daraisa, therefore the Mishnah may have left out, therefore the Mishnah may not have had a need to mention about a woman being also, which is only the Rabbanon. Anyway, Tosfos says that it's not. Also, Tosfos says anyway, we do find cases where a woman goes into the Azara. We learned in the previous parak, for example, that a soiter or a nazira has to be there in order to waive her korban.
That's a rare.
Fine, but it still happens. There are Meforshim who answer. Look, a soiter is a married woman. She's obviously not coming in there to accept Kedushin. Yeah. Yeah. That's what Rabbi Yossi is going to say. Wait. Tosfos says, we don't mean that a woman is not allowed to go into the Azara. We just mean it was a very rare thing. Women don't usually go in. First, it's a bizoyan for them to go in, for one thing, because there's men over there. You'd have men and women together. The whole reason why they had an Ezra Snoshim in the first place and why they made a balcony by Simcha Freita Sheva is that men and women shouldn't mix. So, you're not going to have a woman son going into the Azara. There's no purpose for it. Interesting thing, by the way, that brought up the Tashbis, one of the later Shonim, one of the Talmudim, Maharam Rutenberg, brings based on this. He says, apparently, in their time, there was a common minhag that a woman would be a sandik by a Brit.
Really?
Yeah. So the Maharam Rutenberg says, it's brought in Tashbis, that that's not right, based on what Tosfos is saying. If you have a whole bunch of men over there for the Brit, how are you talking? You're going to have a woman sitting among them.
What about the women of the wall?
And that's a whole other issue. Let's not get into that. Anyway. Yeah.
But that's what I'm asking.
Yeah, but there the issue is palace and fill and whatever. Okay, let's not get into that. So therefore, it's impossible for there to be kedushin with kodshe kodshim. So what kind of a statement is Rame? Are you telling me in the name of Rame? Is Sam coming to hack a China? Hey, Om Rav Yossi. Joimru, now people are going to say, Meir Shochav, Meir passed away, Yehuda caught, Rabbi Yehuda got angry, Yossi Shochav, and if I, Rabbi Yossi, am going to be quiet, Divrei Torah Matahei Olea, then what's going to be with the Torah? Which means, then Yehoyada says, people are going to say like this, Meila, that Rabbi Meir can't defend his Shita, okay, he passed away, he's no longer alive. That Rabbi Yehuda can't think of a way to defend it, okay, he's angry, the person gets angry, Marshall points out over here, famous thing, a person forgets his Torah. If I keep quiet, people are going to think there's no way to pan for the mayor. They're going to think what he said is wrong. We can't have that. So I got to speak up.
That being who?
That's Rabbi Yossi saying. He's saying, so he says, I can find a way to fan for what the mayor is saying.
Does he agree with what
the mayor is saying? Maybe not, but he says, I can find a way that it would work. First of all, isn't it possible a man might be in the Azara and accept Kedushin there on behalf of his daughter, who is Tana or Naira? She herself doesn't have to be there. He can accept Kedushin on her behalf. Also, can't a woman appoint a Shliach to receive her Kedushin also in the Azara? So it could very well be Kodshe Kodshin. The oid, and also you have to ask doch of a nichnas amai. Fine, let's say women don't go into that zorah. Let's say she did push her way in and go in there. After all, there still could be a scenario where she's there for whatever reason. Maybe she's not supposed to be there, but she's there and could accept kedushin. So you have to deal with all those issues.
And if she is there,
so therefore, yeah, well, that's the point. In other words, then you could be, but then conceivably you could be mekadosher with such a kedushin. Therefore, it is relevant. It is an actual case that a mayor can be talking about. That we need to know what happens in that case. Tanya, now we learn a Bryce. So Rabbi Huda Omer Mekudeshes. Rabbi Huda now disagrees with her mayor. He says that if you're Mekadesh with Kodshim or Kodshim Kalam, she is Mekudesh. Rabbi Yossi Omer Ainu Mekudeshes. Rabbi Yossi agrees with her mayor that she's not Mekudesh. Rabbi Yochanan and Shnei Mikra Echad Doshu. Actually, both Rabbi Huda and Rabbi Yossi are both learning from the same pasuk. The pasuk says, to Aaron, to you and your children, the Kohenim, this should be yours from the Kodesh HaKadoshim, from the Holy of Holies, from the fire. So Rabbi Huda Sava, when it says Lacha, means Lachol Tzarchecha, means you can use it for any of your needs, including to be Mekadosh. Rabbi Yossi Sava Keish, whereas Rabbi Yossi focuses on the fact that the Torah mentions Keish, that it should be Min Ha'ish, from the fire, which means the Torah is making a Hekish that between the part that the Kohenim eats and the part that's burnt on the Mizbeach, Ma'ish Lachilo, just like the part that's burnt in the fire is only meant to be consumed by the fire, Ahu Nami Lachilo, the same way, the portion that goes to the Kohen is only meant for eating, only for consuming, not for any other purpose such as to be Mekadosh a woman. So they're both learning from different words from the same problem.
How do they
use each other's words?
How do they understand the other?
The Gemara doesn't say. Actually, Tosfos Yeshanim asks according to Rabbi Yossi that the Torah has to tell us Eish in order to tell us that you can't use it for kedushin, and you're saying because Rabbi Huda said there's a word lacha, why does the Torah does not say lacha and not say Eish pointed at him? And then you would have no reason to think you can use it for kedushin. The Torah specifically leaves it unanswered. Mefoshim answered, okay, I mean there's other drushas that we use the word lacha for, so therefore Rabbi Yossi would say you need it for one of those drushas. Amar Rabbi Yechanan, Nimnu v'gamru, the Chachamim voted and they decided Hamakadosh b'chelka ben kodesh kodesh and ben kodesh kalam loy kiddush. He was not makadosh. So they eventually voted on it and they came to the conclusion, like a mayor and Rabbi Yossi are saying, that ain't a makadosh. But Rav Amar adayin hi machlokes. Whereas Rav says no, they never voted on it. So in other words, nimnu v'gamru would mean, in other words, that Rabbi Huda necessarily changed his mind. Rabbi Huda changed his mind and ended up agreeing with Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yossi. Whereas Rav is saying adayin hi machlokes. No, it's still a machlokes. They never voted on it. They never voted on it, and Rabbi Huda still maintained it. Rav is discussing what actually happened historically. Did they vote or did they not vote? Nothing. Rav is saying there's still a machloket. You still have Rabbi Huda on one side and Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yossi on the other.
Right.
Actually, the Marsha talks about that. The Marsha talks about that. Maybe the vote is that actually midaraisa. It's only kodesh. It's only kodesh kodshim that this applies to. Maybe Rabbanan, you could be mekadesh with kodshim kalim, and then later on they voted. Then the Rabbi Yochanan would be saying that they eventually voted to include kodshim kalim as well, whereas Rav disagrees with that. Omer Abaye, Kavaseid Rabbi Yochanan Mistabra. So Abaye says it seems more logical to say, like Rabbi Yochanan, to say that Rabbi Yehuda changed his mind. The Tanya, as we learn a Braita, and this is going to be a long Braita. It's going to go all the way. It's going to go all the way until the third line of the wide line. So this Braita is going to be half of our Omer. So and at the end of it, Kavaseid Rabbi Yochanan Mistabra. It's logical to say that Rabbi Yochanan's version of what happened is correct, that they did vote on it, and Rabbi Yehuda then had to concede to the majority, because we're going to bring a long braisa from which we derive that Rabbi Yehuda changed his mind, as we shall see. The Tanya, as we learn a braisa, Minayin Shein Chokim Menachos Kneged Zvakim. How do we know the Kohenim cannot split up pieces of a korban mincha corresponding to pieces of a korban? Let's say, for example, so the one Kohen will say to the other, instead of each of us getting a little bit of this mincha and each of us getting a little piece of the chaz of a shayk of this shlomim, you take the mincha, I'll take the chaz of a shayk. We'll split it up. We'll split it up by monetary values. Let's say. How do we know you don't do that? The pasuk says any mincha that is baked in an oven. We know there's different kinds of menachos. There's the kind that's brought as raw flour with oil and then levoina, and then there's the various kinds of baked and fried ones. the pasuk continues, "L'chol bnei Aaron tia," it should be for all the children of Aaron, which implies that each that the mincha itself has to be divided among all the children of Aaron. Not all the children, literally, but what it means is, in other words, that all the ones, the whole base of that day. You have the 24 mishmaros. Each mishmar is divided into 6 or 7 batei of, which each one works in the bismikdash one day. The whole base of looks up each mincha. Okay, yachol la'yakulkum and nachas connected zvachim. Okay, so you would think the Braita continues. You find you can't divide up, you can't trade a mincha for a zevach, for a korban. Shall I come with taksein bedalus? Because after all, we see that a mincha cannot substitute for a korban, for an animal korban, when a person is poor. Namely, you have a case of a korban olah v'yer. It's certain averus that a person does where they bring a chatas, which is a sliding scale. If they're rich, they bring an animal. If they're poor, they bring birds. And if they're the poorest of all, they bring a mincha. So the mincha does not substitute for the animal in that case. It's the bird substitute. That's what we're gonna get to later. Maybe you would think that you can trade a mincha for bird carbon for a chatzot. Because after all, we see that the mincha is able to substitute for the bird. If a person is medium poor, they bring birds as their carbon of the yard. If they're really poor, they bring a mincha. So we see the mincha has a certain connection with the bird. No, Tamad Baima, Vachom Nasa Bamacheshes, Vachom Bnei Aaron Tia. No, because the Pasuk mentions these two psukim that the Gemara is going to quote mention all the different kinds of minchas, of menachas. It starts off, Vachom Mincha Asher Te'ochu Batanu, any mincha that is baked in an oven, Vachom Nasa Bamacheshes, anyone that's made in a deep frying pan, Val Machva, or in a deep fryer, Val Machva, so in a shallow frying pan. The Pasuk continues, Makoyin Amakra Voice Alokia, it goes to the Koyin who offered it. And then the Pasuk continues, the next Pasuk continues, Vachom Mincha B'lulav Hashemen, any mincha that is mixed with oil, which is most kinds of minchas, both the baked and the unbaked ones, Vachareva, and any dry mincha, Vachom Bnei Aaron T.H. Kachib, should be for all the sons of Aaron equally. Now the Pasuk did not have to relist all the different kinds of minchas. We know them all from Parshas Vayikra, this is in Parshas Tzav. So by listing all of them, each one, we're saying then basically, in any Indian, if you don't need it, legufa, you don't need it to teach us, once you say, for example, that a kol mincha asher te'ochu batanur, then you don't have to specifically mention kol machta b'macheshet, because they already, the Torah could have just said any mincha is divided among the sons of Aaron. By listing them out individually, it teaches us not only that you can't trade a mincha for a zevach, but you can't even trade a mincha for a bird. Next, lochol yachol la'yakulkum menachas k'neged oifer. You would think then, fine, you can't trade a mincha for a bird, shalolah min adamim v'alolah min akmachim, because after all, they are different. A mincha is, a bird involves blood going on the mizbeach. A mincha is only flour, so there are two different types of korbanos, one chai, one semeach. You would think maybe you can trade a chatas oif, a bird korban, for an animal korban. You can say, you take this bird, and I'll take the chaz v'shoik, that sort of thing. Shalolam v'alolam min adamim, because after all, both of them involve blood. No, tamad bayim al machlas, therefore, again, you have a ribui in the pasuk that it mentions a mincha that's baked in a shallow frying pan. Where, again, I didn't need to mention each of the menachos individually, so we use each one to darshan. Fine. You would think maybe you can't trade birds for zvachim, because after all, a bird is offered by hand. You do the malika, the kohen does the malika with his fingernail, whereas an animal has to be shechted with a knife. But maybe you would think that you could trade one kind of mincha for another. Shalolah v'alolah ma'aseh b'yad, because both of them involve the hand, both of them involve you do kmitzah with your hand, yeah. No, tamad loyim v'chol mincha b'lulav Hashem v'chol b'nei Aaron. No, because the pasuk says, any mincha that is mixed with oil goes to all the sons of Aaron, which again is an unnecessary pasuk, because we know already what the different kinds of mincha are, and most kinds of minachos are mixed with oil, so it comes to teach us that you can't even trade one of those for the other.
We knew that they were going to the sons of Aaron.
We knew that. The previous parsha told us in Parshas Vayikra that a mincha after the koyim is taken out and burnt on the mizbeach, the koyim immediately. So we knew that already. So therefore, we didn't need to say that.
So that's what
happened. Yeah. Next. Fine. You would think maybe you can't trade different types of menachos. For example, a minchas machvas corresponding to a minchas macheshes. Let's say, for example, a machvas is a shallow frying pan, a flat pan, basically. A macheshes is a deep fryer. The difference, well, there are two different types of minchas. As the Gemara is going to say in a second, the mincha that came out of that was baked in it, there are two different types of minchas. A person makes a neder to bring one, he can't bring the other. But the difference is there's a difference in consistency. Rashi says that because as the Gemara is going to say in a second that the ones from a machvat come out hard and the ones from a macheshes come out soft. Rashi says the reason is because with machvat the oil runs off the side; you don't have very much oil left, so because it's flat, so therefore most of the oil burns and therefore the dough becomes the baked good becomes hard. Whereas in a macheshes, because of the deep fryer, the oil stays inside, therefore it remains soft. The Rambam understands it a little differently. The Rambam says that the actual dough itself was for a machmas was prepared from a stiffer dough so that it won't leak out the sides. So when you make it like a pancake in the frying pan, it doesn't go out the sides. Whereas a macheshet, it has deep walls, therefore you can make a softer dough.
That's why you can always change them.
You would think. Yachol lo yachlochu machvas keneged macheshes, macheshes keneged machvas. Fine, you would think you can't trade a minchas machvas for a minchas macheshes, or a minchas macheshes for a minchas machvas. Shezu ma'aseim rakim v'zu ma'aseim kashim, because after all, one is soft and one is hard. There are two different types of mincha, therefore. Avo yachlochu machvas keneged machvas. You would think maybe you can trade a minchas machvas for another minchas machvas, or macheshes for a macheshes. Shalolo v'alolo ma'aseim kashim, because both of them are hard. Inami ma'aseim rakim, or both of them are soft, as the case may be. Second line, second to the bottom line of the narrow line. Tamad loyma v'chareva. Therefore, the pasuk finishes off. V'chareva, any mincha that is dry, meaning not mixed with oil, like a mincha soita, a mincha soita, etc. L'chol b'nei Aaron, tia should be for all the children of Aaron. Again, it's an unnecessary word in the pasuk because we already knew all the different types of mincha, and we knew that there were types. So we derived that, and then it means that you can't trade any.
You can.
You can't.
You can.
Yeah.
You would think
that you could trade one for the other.
One is on the other.
That's what I'm saying. If both of them are hard or both of them are soft, you would think you could trade one for the other. Okay. That's the point. Mind you, I mean, the Sfatemis talks about the possibility, but what the Gemara may mean is you can't make an official thing that you trade one for the other. But if people voluntarily want to trade, he says maybe it's not such an issue. Mm-hmm. Anyway. Now, all of this, we were talking all this time about a mincha. A mincha has the din of kodesh kodeshim. It can only be eaten in the Azara, only by Meo Koyanim, etc. So you... The mincha, the chatas, and the asham are all kodesh kodeshim. Also the oila, but you don't eat it. So you would think, based on all this so far, you would think, fine, you can't trade kodshim kodshim, like a mincha, avo yakoku kodshim kalim, but we would think maybe you could trade kodshim kalim. Trade, for example, you eat the chaz of a shoyk of this shlomim, I'll eat the chaz of a shoyk of that one, let's say. Tamad lama ish ka'achiv, no, because the pasuk finishes off, one person, one kohen, like his brother, the samich lay, and the next words in the Torah, the next section in the Torah, the next korban that it discusses, is imal toida. If a person brings a shalmei toida, brings a shlomim of a special type, which is a toida. So you have a smichus over there. The ish ka'achiv, imal toida, that also a toida, which is a type of kodshim kalim, has to be each person like the other. Meaning you don't trade one for the other. You don't say, I'll eat this toda, you eat that toda. It's not a hekesh, really. It's called smuchim.
His own thing.
It's called smuchim. It's called smuchim. It's called that you have one thing juxtaposed to another. I just point out that actually we're dealing with points of Yehuda. Yehuda really doesn't hold of smuchim except in Devarim. So Tosfos says we don't really mean smuchim here per se. We mean rather the fact that it starts... The fact that it starts off, so the Vav is called Moisif al Inyan Rishon, as we learned earlier in the Sechta, that you can use the Vav that we're adding to what it said before. This is also the rule for a Shlomim. That he holds by.
And the ones who hold by the...
The ones who hold by Smichos would say you don't need the Vav. Okay, they say you don't need the Vav.
You don't need
it. Okay. So therefore, we learn from that, k'shem she'en chok and b'kodshe kodshim, so just as you do not trade kodshe kodshim, as we established before from talking about a mincha, k'shem chok and b'kodshim kalim, therefore we learn from that, but you also don't trade the kodshim kalim either.
From the
smichos, yeah. Now, the pasuk, when the pasuk says ish ka'achiv, what do we learn from the word ish? We learn ish cholek, it means a man, an adult, gets his own portion from each korban. Afilu balmum, so even if he's a balmum, so even though he's not able to offer the korban, but he's entitled to get his own share from the korban. Ve'en akotan chodek b'afilu tam. However, a katan is not entitled to it. He's allowed to eat from his father's portion, but he doesn't get a portion of his own, even if he's a tam, even if he's not a balmum, because he's not an ish. Okay, so thus far the bright. Now, what's the relevance of it to what we're talking about here? Stam sifra mani Rabbi Huda. Now, when the Gemara tells us in Sanhedrin that when you have a sifra, when you have a braisa from sifra, which is the medrash halacha and vayikra, which this whole long braisa that we quoted is, then a stam, just like a stam mishneh is your mayor, a stam sifra is according to Rabbi Yehuda. So therefore, we have to assume that this braita is according to Rabbi Yehuda. Now he's saying that you don't trade them one from the other, even kodshim kalim. Not kodshim kalim. Yeah. So Rav wants to say that Rabbi Yehuda still holds that you can't be that you could be mekadesh with kodshim or kodshim kalim. This braita though, which apparently is according to Rabbi Yehuda, says otherwise. So fine, according to Rabbi Yochanan, and it makes sense. Rabbi Yehuda originally held that way, then he changed his mind. After he changed his mind, he composed this braita. But according to Rav, Arishtelrein, Shmaminah. So that proves Rabbi Yochanan is right. Omar Rava, however, Rava says Rav Milay Tanya. So what? You think there's no braita that also goes according to Rav? I can find you a different braisa, which says that you do divide them. If you divide them, then it means that each person's chalik belongs to him. If they belong to him, it means you could be mekadesh with it. Since so far the only one we have who says that you could be mekadesh with korbanos, with pieces of korbanos, is Rabbi Yehuda, necessarily we would have to say that. Or the braisa also is according to Rabbi Yehuda. Either, you know, okay, you have two different tanoim within what Rabbi Yehuda said, let's say. Okay. Because don't we learn in a braisa? When it came to dividing the lacham apanim, now Rashi brings the history behind this from the Gemara in Yoma. The Gemara tells us over there that early in the second Beis Hamikdash, as long as Shimon HaTzadik was a Kohen Gadol, there was a bracha in lacham apanim. So even a Kohen would get a small piece of it. It would fill him up. Afterwards, after he passed away, a lot of the great signs of the Eidus's closeness and the Beis Hamikdash started going away. One of them is that now there's a curse in it. So a Kohen might only get a bean-sized piece of the lacham apanim, and it wouldn't be enough to fill him up. So once it came to that point, Mefoshim point out, a bean-sized piece, anyway, you're not really being mekayim in the mitzvah of eating it anyway, because eating usually involves a kedayis. Therefore, tznui and moshchen esudeim, therefore the tzniistic people, meaning the chassidic, the edel people, the chassidish people, would hold back their hands. They wouldn't take lacham apanim. Agaguronim chokim, whereas the gaguronim, the greedy people, the people who like to eat, would divide it up. So you see, Lechora, that you do divide it.
They wouldn't take it because they
figure there's not enough for everybody anyway, so we may as well not. The Gaguronim would, though. And Rashi says, the vort is, you would assume, what does Chokin mean? Pashtos, it doesn't mean the Gaguronim are not going to be satisfied with a bean-sized piece. Lechora, it means that they're going to make a deal with Tznuim. Look, you were supposed to get a bean-sized piece, I was supposed to get a bean. So let's say you get together with five tznuim. Each of us was supposed to get, there's six of us, we're each supposed to get a piece the size of a bean. It's not going to be enough for all of us anyway. So we'll trade. You don't take your bean-sized pieces. I'll take it all, so I'll have a kazayas, let's say. And you'll take some other piece of some other korban that I should have been entitled to.
Yes,
so
you can trade them, right?
Yeah. So therefore, again, since you see the only Tana who said before that you could be Makadish with Korbanos is Rabbi Yehuda, presumably that means this Braita is according to Rabbi Yehuda. Well then, Rav has a source to say that Rabbi Yehuda never changed his mind. The Gemara says not necessarily, because my chokim chotvim, because the word chokim doesn't necessarily mean that they make an official division. It means they grab. It means these gagaronim grab. It means that if they get too small a piece, if it's not worthwhile for them, there's only a bean sized piece, they'll grab more. So we're not talking about actually figuring out making deals like that. We're talking about they would end up grabbing more than they're supposed to.
Therefore, it means that.
So therefore, it's you still back to that you don't have a proof that you could actually trade them like that. Kitikotani Sefer, as in fact we learn at the end of that braisa, it happened once that one person grabbed his portion as well as somebody else's portion. Ben Chamson ad Yom Moshe, and they called him Ben Chamson. Chamson means like the robber. It's related to the chamak, basically. Ad Yom Moshe, until he died. Until he died, okay, Meshach Chachma points out the point of the braisa, to say that once he died, that was like a parah. Yeah, the point
he
is
died because he stole.
No, not eventually. He got old, but eventually for his whole life he was carrying Kavera around with him because he never returned it to the guy. But once he died, then it was a scapula to him. Actually, Tosfos asked the question. I mean, if other people were grabbing, why did Dafka single out this guy and call him Ben Chamson? Tosfos answers because he didn't grab from one of the Tznuyim. He grabbed from another Gagaron like him. to store it up with the Gagaronim themselves, that they attached this name to him. Had he stored it up with the Snuim, they wouldn't have bothered. Yeah. Micro, where the pasuk that shows us this idea that chamsan means a grabber, somebody who takes something illegally. But there's a pasuk in Tillim, Elokai Paltani Miyad Rosha, David HaMelech Davins, Hashem, save me from the hands of the Rosha, Mikach Ma'avo V'Choymetz, from the hand of the person who does unjustly, and who's Choymetz?
Chamsan,
Choymetz is the same thing, yeah. Rava Omameacha, Rava says on the side it should be Rava, says you have a different source for this idea. Pasuk says in Yeshaya, Lindu Hetev, learn to be good, Dirshu Mishpat, seek out justice, Ashru Chomot, and strengthen the Chomot, the one who was stolen from. Chomot, Chomot would be the one who steals. Chomot would be the one who was stolen from. So again, we see that that Chomot is an idea of stealing.
The straightforward meaning of chametz is...
That's what it means. Ashul chametz. That's what it means over there. It means that you have people who injustice has been done to, strengthen them. You, the dayanim, are responsible for strengthening them and then punishing the wicked. Yeah. So that takes care of kodshim. Okay, so we've established then that we have a machloikas, whether you can be mekadesh with kodshim, kodshim kalim. According to Rabbi Yochanan, in the end, there's no machloikas. Everybody agrees that you can't. According to Rav, there is a machloikas. Next. Maisa Sheni, we said that if you're Makadosh with Maisa Sheni, Ben B'Shogig Ben B'Mezid L'Kiddush, whether it was B'Shogig or B'Mezid, then it's not a valid Kiddush, and Divrei Meir. Rabbi Yehuda, I'm a Shogig L'Kiddush, Mezid Kiddush, whereas Rabbi Yehuda says if it was B'Shogig, then it's not a valid Kiddush, and if it was B'Mezid, then it is. So first of all, Menoha Nimili, where do we know this idea that you can't be Makadosh, according to the Meir, that you can't be Makadosh with Maisa Sheni food? Amar of Acha Brei D'Rava, Meshmei D'Gemara, so Acha Brei D'Rava says in the name of the Gemara, meaning Rashi says that this was a well-known statement that all the Bnei HaYeshiva knew. This is like we say in the morning, Abai have Masada say to Amarach Meshmei D'Gemara, it means the same kind of thing, that all the Bnei HaYeshiva knew this, and Abai like made it official. The Pasuk says, V'chol Masa Oret Mizera Ha'oret Mipri Ha'et, all the Maisa of the land, which means Maisa Sheni, from the seeds of the land, meaning grain, mipri ha'etz, or from the fruits of the trees, meaning grapes and olives, l'Hashem hu, it belongs to Hashem, kodesh l'Hashem, it is holy to Hashem, which means l'Hashem hu, it's only for Hashem, v'loy l'kadosh ba'yishe, it's not meant to be l'kadosh a woman with. Okay, question is, harit trumas ma'aser, what about trumas ma'aser, if it came to rumu gamatim trumas Hashem, the pasuk says to the Levim that you need to take off the truma of Hashem, the one-tenth of the ma'aser rishon that you got, and give it to the kohenim. So we see it's also called trumas Hashem. Utnan, and we learn in a Mishnah later in our parak, ha'makadosh b'truma m'kodesh. So if a person is makadosh with truma, it is a valid kiddushin. So why should that be, according to what you just said? The answer is, d'loksi be'la Hashem. It doesn't say it's truma la Hashem, it just says truma Hashem. Truma Hashem means the truma that the Eibishter commanded. La Hashem Hu, means it actually proprietary, it belongs to Hashem. Okay. What about Chala that it says you should give it to Hashem? Utnan, again, I'm a Kaddish with Truma, it's Mekodesh. That's again the mission that it says over there that you're a Kaddish with Truma, she's Mekodesh. Chala is a type of Truma. Therefore,
Chala Hashem, do we?
No, but the Pasuk says, Titnu La Ureshus Arisasechem, Titnu La Hashem Truma. So you give it to Hashem. And yet, the Mishnah that says that you can be Mekadosh with Trumas, the implication is Chala is included, because Chala is basically like Truma. It has much of the same dinim as Truma. So it's Mekodeshus. The answer is like Tibet Kodesh. True, but it doesn't use the word Kodesh by Chala. By Meiser Sheni, it's a Kodesh. It's a Kodesh L'Hashem. What about fruit of Shemitah, which the Pasuk says about fruit of Yovel, which is the fruit of Yovel and the fruit of Shemitah have the same dinim, basically. And the Pasuk says it's Yovel, Kodesh Tiyalachem, it shall be holy for you. Utsanan, and yet we learn in the previous Mishnah, we said, I'm a Kaddish prepared as Shavias Mekodesh. The Mishnah didn't say so in so many words, but the implication was that we learned yesterday, we had Rav's statement that you can derive from the Mishnah that if you're a Kaddish prepared as Shavias, it works. So how does that work? The answer is, the Lashem Tibbe Lashem. Fine, but by Shavias, it doesn't say the word Lashem.
So it has to be.
So it has to be, that's to say Kodesh and Lashem.
Lashem or Kodesh?
No, it has to say both. So by Chala, it doesn't say, so by Truma, it doesn't say Lashem or Kodesh. By Chala, it says Lashem, but not Kodesh. And by Shri, it says Kodesh, but not Lashem. Okay. Vare Truma, the Kurdish Israel Hashem Rishis to us. Say, what about Truma? The Pasuk says the Jewish people are holy to Hashem, the first of his produce, meaning that the Jewish people are like Truma. Utnana Makadish with Truma Makadeshis. And again, that same Mishnah later on Unchas says that you can be Makadish with Truma. The answer is that will be Israel. That's not talking about the dinim of Truma. That's telling us the Jewish people are holy to Hashem. Not saying that Truma is holy to Hashem. Saying the Jewish people are holy to Hashem.
I see.
Yeah. Next. Okay. So then the question is, Malab Mamela Shamat Mina. Fine. Okay. But the fact of the matter is, since the Torah is comparing it to Rishis Tzvuah, so the Torah is saying the Jewish people are holy to Hashem like Rishis Tzvuah, so like the first of his fruits, that means that Truma, by implication, we're saying that Truma is considered Kodesh Lashem. The answer is Tugma, Robin Sava, Kamedir Rav. Robin.
The Jewish people are as holy
as Truma. And therefore, Truma, by transference, is being called Kodesh Lashem. So Robin Sava explained in the presence of Rav, or Papa, it says on the side of here, because Amakra, who? Because by Maisa Sheni, you have a third word. You have the word who. You had Lashem, who, Kodesh Lashem. All those three words taken together, Bahava Yafi, Yehei, meaning it has to be in its original state. It cannot be used for Kedushin. So you need all three.
Kodesh,
who, and Lashem. So by all the other ones you have, for example, by Yovel, it did say who, or they said he, actually, Yovel, he, but it didn't say Lashem. So, yeah. Then we said in the Mishnah over Hektish that if you Makadish a woman with Hektish, the Mazid. By the way, the Gemara has not really gotten into why we would say that with Meiser, why would Rabbi Yehuda distinguish between Shogeg and Mazid? That we'll deal with in the next piece over here. Okay, over Hektish, but Mazid Kiddish b'Shogeg leKiddish Divrei Rav Meir. When it comes to Hektish, we said in the Mishnah that Rav Meir says that if you did it b'Shogeg, you didn't know it was Hektish, if you knew that it was hektish, then you are, it is a valid kiddushin. B'shogeg leKiddish, whereas if it was b'Shogeg, you're not Makadish, Divrei Rav Meir, and Rabbi Yehuda, I mean the other way around, b'Shogeg Kiddish, b'Mazid leKiddish. Omer of Yaakov.
Mayor is hard to understand.
We'll get to it. Wait. We'll get to it a little today and more tomorrow. Omer of Yaakov. Shamas Mineh Rabbi Yochanan Tarti. I heard two explanations from Rabbi Yochanan on the two sections of our Mishnah, the one about Maaser Sheni and the one about Hektish. Shigigas Maaser Rabbi Yehuda, Shigigas Hektish to the mayor. I learned from him an explanation why it is that if you did with Maaser Sheni B'Shogeg that Rabbi Yehuda is saying Loi Kiddush, and why by Hektish Rav Meir says that B'Shogeg you're that why Rav Meir says that Hektish B'Shogeg you're not Makadish. I heard explanations of Rav Yechon to both of them. That Shneim Einisim Isha Makadesh is behem, that Rav Yehuda is saying as far as Meister and Rav Meir is saying as far as Hektish that it's not Makadish. And the reasons Rabbi Yochanan gave were Choda, with one of them he said the reason is B'Fishein Isha Roitza, because the woman doesn't want to receive it. If she had known what it is, she wouldn't have accepted it.
She would not have accepted it,
therefore it's not a valid kedushin. V'chada, and the other one he explained the fishein shneim writes him, because neither of them want it.
Neither
the man nor the woman.
So why is he trying to be Mekadesh?
Because he didn't know. Remember, we're talking shogeg. Shogeg in the sense that if he had known
he didn't know.
So one of them, Rabbi Yochanan explained the reason is because she doesn't want it. The other one, he said it's because both of them don't want it.
How can one know without the other?
Well, why not? He could know it's Maaser and she couldn't, or vice versa. The point is, though, Rashi says a little different. The point is that...
If he knows, then it's not just Maaser.
No, wait. The point is like this, Rashi says. If we ask her, you know, there's a chance that this is Maaser, or that this is Hektish, as the case may be. If she says, I don't care, I want to be Niskadish with it anyway... Whichever one we're saying that it's, that the difference is whether she's makbid on it. Well, if she's not makbid, then there's no problem. Then it is a valid kedushin. Whereas if we say that it's whichever one we say it, that both of them object to, we would have to know that both of them don't object to.
But how can he object?
B'shogeg again. Later on, when he finds out that it was Maaser, that it was Hektish, would he have wanted to be makadish with such a thing? The problem is, Rabbi Yaakov says, "V'lo yadayna heiminayu." I don't know which one Rabbi Yochanan explained as referring to which case in the Mishnah, by Sheni or Hektish. Rabbi Yirmi and Nechyanan. So Rabbi Yirmi says, let's see, let's figure this out logically. Meiser, when it comes to Meiser, we can say Ihi lo nichola, she would not want to be in a Scottish with Meiser, Mishum Turcha de Urcha. Because after all, there's the Turcha of the journey. She would have to take it up to Yerushalayim, which is a hassle to travel all the way there. Hold on.
Well, they didn't have taxi cabs then.
Yeah, and it's still, you know.
Slip on a donkey.
You had to go in any case.
No, a woman doesn't have to be able to go.
A woman doesn't have to be
able to go.
She had to go herself?
What do you mean she had to? No, if she has in her possession Maisa Sheni fruit, she's either going to have to bring it to Yerushalayim, or she's going to have to exchange it for cash and bring the cash to Yerushalayim. Okay, technically she doesn't have to go herself. She can send it to somebody else. She can send it to a shliach. Fine, but it's still a hassle. And the truth of the matter is, Mefoshim discussed that some of the Mefoshim and the Poskim deal at some length over here, how all this fits with something that we learned back in the first Perek, that if you're Mekadosh with something worth less than a Shava Prutta, it's still Sofet Kedushin because it may be worth Prutta in Madai. Here the Gemara is mentioning the concept of the expenses for the trip. On the face of it, you could have over here a situation. He gives her fruit of Maisa Sheni, and once you deduct the expenses for the trip, you have less than a Prutta available. So there's a lot of discussion around that. Maybe are we talking about maybe he gave her a large enough amount of food that it wouldn't matter, or is it possible even that she could sell them at a deep discount to somebody? But
the cost more than the guns and mice.
Yeah. Maybe it is enough that she could sell it at a deep discount and still get a profit for it, etc. Okay. So she wouldn't have wanted, if she had known it was Maisa Sheni, she wouldn't have accepted it because then there's the tircha of getting it to Yerushalayim. Whereas Iyo Nichalei, the Nikna Itza Memela. Whereas with him, he doesn't mind. He gets a wife out of it. He had this Maisa Sheni that he anyway would have had to schlep to Yerushalayim like this. He puts the burden on her and he has himself a wife. So therefore, it's logical to say that that's the one where Rabbi Yechon explained Ein Isha Roitza. So therefore, meaning in other words, again, if you were to ask her and she were to say, I don't care whether it's Maisa Sheni or not, I still want to be in the Scottish, I don't care about the expenses of the trip, fine, then she'd be in the Scottish. Whereas Ella Hektish, when it comes to Hektish, Tavayu la Nichalu, the Nischal Hektish Ayudayu, you could argue, Rabbi Yirmiya is saying, that neither one would want to be niskalal through them, because after all, it's an iser to misuse hektish for your own private purposes. The Torah calls it me'ila. The Torah calls it by me'ila, which means trespassing, which is a pretty serious statement. And it involves both of them, him giving it to her.
What is the trespassing?
Trespassing is me'ila. Rashi says, Shu Dvar iser, the Torah calls it that they've trespassed, that they violated the Eibush's mitzvah.
The hektish, yeah.
So like this, when he takes the money of Hektish and gives it to her, both of them are involved in taking out of the Rishos of Hektish. We can assume neither one, if either one knew that it was money of Hektish, they would not want to want to do it. Therefore, even if we asked her and she says, I don't care, there's still him to consider. That's what Rabbi Yirmiya says.
Okay. If she does, it might be Hektish, then the whole thing is going to be good.
No, that's what we're saying. In other words, no, it is Beret, because if you take something of Hektish and you use it for your own purposes, then it becomes, it's an eschalel, it leaves the Rishos of Hektish, it goes into your Rishos, you became like a gazlan from Hektish. You owe Hektish the value of it, plus Chomish, etc. Yeah.
It's the same about Maser?
No. No, because Maser, as long as it wasn't exchanged for cash, it's also to eat outside of your Yerushalayim. There's no, I mean, if you eat it outside your shalim, it's chayav malchus.
But you still have to go to your shalim.
Right, that's what we're saying. But she might object to that. Whereas in Hektish, it's not a matter of, I mean, once it's a schalo, it's a schalo. You owe Hektish the money. But the might say you don't. No.
There's no thing about
the Mazer. Well, Mazer and Shoyu, we haven't gotten into it yet. We don't got a hill or not. Well, no, when it comes to, no, that actually we're going to talk about, we're going to talk about tomorrow, really. We're going to talk about, That's why we have to describe why there's a difference between Mazid and Shogig in this regard. So we'll get to that. Okay. So therefore, so Rabbi Yirmi is saying, so you can very easily understand which one Rabbi Yochanan said refers to which case. Rabbi Yaakov Amar, whereas Rabbi Yaakov does not agree to that, because he answers, what does he mean? He says, I don't know. Couldn't you figure out the same thing himself? No, he says, Ipcha Mistabra. But you could also argue the other way around. Mila Ikla Meimah, because after all, you could argue like this. Meiser, ihi lo nichalei mishum tircha de urcha. When it comes to Meiser, yes, it's true. She would object to it because of the tircha of getting it to Yerushalayim. But there's also, he has an objection too. Ihi lo nichalei mishum unsa de urcha. He might object to it because there is the potential oynes. It may get stolen on the way. Rashi gives two explanations what we mean over here. Number one is that Okay, let's say she exchanges it for cash. She has to bring the cash to Yerushalayim. But then he's going to be responsible for making sure, and especially a woman is more likely to be robbed on the way than a man, he's now going to be responsible for making sure that it gets to Yerushalayim intact.
If not, she's not Mekudeshes,
but at least, I mean, it has to get to Yerushalayim. So therefore, even though he gave it to her, he's still going to be responsible.
What happens if the taka gets stolen?
Well, then
he's... Are they Mekudesh or not?
No, well... No, the Pashas, she is Mekudeshes, but according to this first explanation. Nevertheless, it is a very common thing that they might be annoyed. Fine, but
why not that to you, Nodishalai, because she goes away from him?
Well,
the wife goes away to Shalai, who's 10,000
wives. No, she can. I don't know. But, I mean, I don't know.
Nodishalai, you're quite a wife.
She goes away to
Shalai, she's still his wife.
Anyway, Rashi then gives a second explanation. Which is what most other Rishonim agree with also. The second explanation is, fine, it's not that he's responsible to repay the Prutah that was stolen. The problem is, though, that just he doesn't want that if it does get stolen, she's... In this case, Mois, Maushi Yetzel Chulin. But after all, does the money become Chulin or not?
By Hektish,
we're talking about. If he was Shoygig with Hektish, according to the mayor, where we're saying Einim Kodeshis, but does the money.
What happens to the money?
Is it still Hektish, or does it become Chulin now? Maybe the very fact that he was going to use them for Kedushin, even though the Kedushin themselves did not take effect, maybe that's enough to make him Chulin.
If the Taka becomes Chulin, he's still Chayiv.
He'd be Chayiv, the Kovin Mila, sure. Yeah.
That's different.
Yes. Amalei, Rav Chista answers him, Isha ein miskadeshes. Look, if the woman was not miskadesh, meaning that the money was not actually considered to have legally transferred hands, gone from hand to hand, Mois heich yetzel l'cholin. How is the money supposed to go out? From cholin?
Yeah, the
kavanah. Doesn't matter. No, Rav Chista is saying doesn't matter. The kavanah. The fact of the matter is the transaction did not take place. Therefore, it's still hektish. It's still hektish. Yeah. And we'll, okay, so the next question is what happens, would the same thing be true if a sale, if you try to use it for a sale, the shogig, would that be valid? But that will leave for tomorrow.